just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com. Steve, we're talking about a high-flying ride today that everyone's talking about. It's a real big deal.
All the kids are into it.
Everyone's into it. Especially, bloggers all over it.
Especially Groot.
We're definitely talking about Mission Breakout. I always try to do these things where I cleverly make you think we're talking about something else.
We're faking
really
you out with
not.
Something else different.
And I'm terrible at it. I'm so bad at it. I should write it down. That would make me better at it, I think.
And to be fair, I know the topic before we start recording, so.
Right? Well, I'm not trying to fool you.
Oh.
But okay. To be fair, also, we have the name of what we're talking about on the
in
podcast.
In the title.
So.
Yeah, you're probably already listening to it.
Well, that it's just a terrible joke.
Anyway, on no with Star Wars Edge.
Yeah, Star Wars. No, it's the first podcast of the month, yeah. Which means it's a patch cast. Welcome to October, everybody.
Can you believe it's Halloween month finally?
It seems like we've been talking about Halloween stuff for such a long time.
I don't know if we've done it on the podcast yet, though, right?
We talked about when the Halloween parties were starting.
Yeah.
Because I'm always flabbergasted about when they start.
Right.
It's so early.
But it's... Yeah, now in October.
But now it's officially October, so we can be Halloween fans.
And this is a fun patch dedicated all to tell me all about it.
I love that you forgot the name. Let me take you back in a time machine, Steve.
Yeah.
Broom, broom. We are back in 2017.
Yes.
It's my birthday.
Uh-huh.
We decide to go to Disneyland for my birthday.
We did.
And it just so happens to coincide with the grand opening of a new attraction.
Right.
Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout.
Ugh.
Do you remember how controversial this was when they said they were going to do it?
No, I do.
People were up in arms about
this. I was excited as can be. Get rid of that thing. The Tower of Terror, when it was there, was a very scary ride.
It was the bane of your existence every time we went.
It completely was. And I thought about this, and I would definitely say that Galaxy's Edge is... I'm so sorry. I've been talking way too much about that place recently,
you really
right?
have. You need to calm down.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. When that ride was announced, I was very excited about it, and uh-huh. It made such a huge improvement to that part of the park. Mm. You know, the other
For
one was...
For you, yes.
Well... But Tower of Terror was absolutely, and we've talked about this before, but it was absolutely fun. It was an incredible ride to go onto, and it had a very distinct feel about it.
It did.
But I love the high-energy dance party that's going on back there now with Groot 17 feet tall dancing over the top of everybody and stuff.
Well, you're talking about performers outside of the attraction. I still don't think you're a fan of the attraction, regardless of what they do to it.
It's telling when I go right out to the outside of it.
You know what I enjoy? Standing in front of the building. Great, because the line's really long, so you'll have plenty of time.
I know exactly where the bench is in the shade with my schmoozy. I'm ready to go. Watching Dancing with Groot. Oh, it's a good time.
But it was such a big deal. People were just furious that they were taking down Tower of Terror. And for good reason, Tower of Terror has an ambiance and a feel to it that you really don't get anywhere else in the park.
Right.
If you think about California Adventure specifically, there is nothing quote-unquote scary in the park. It's all kind of lighthearted, fun,
you know, that's
sort
right.
of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so
love it.
When they said they were removing Tower of Terror, or not really removing, but changing the overlay of Tower of Terror, people were pretty upset about it.
Right.
And
it's iconic, and it has a cult following, if you call it that, much like Pirates and the Haunted Mansion does.
Right.
It's very much that amount of fan love for that for that ride.
For sure.
And so obviously when you and listen, I was the first to say that, wow, good for them, because it's very it's daring to take one of your most popular rides in a park and completely rip it down and retheme it completely.
Right.
And leave it exactly the same. But
and people are still mad about it too.
Yeah.
With the way that it looks now, they say it interrupts the whole look of the park.
And to be fair, it is a twee bit hideous.
It's really out there. So with the Hollywood Tower Hotel, which is what it was themed as originally, it had a very stately old hotel look to it, obviously.
Yeah.
And it sat at the end of Hollywood Boulevard looking for boating, and it definitely was an impressive structure.
Yeah.
When they decided to switch it, they showed some concept art, and people were like, what is this exactly? Right? And then as they started adding things to the outside, this attitude grew.
Yeah, like, it didn't get better.
Yeah.
Even after it was completed, I still look at it at times and go, yeesh,
yeah,
what is this?
It's got brass, it's got metal, it's got lights, it's got neon, it's got all sorts of things all over this building.
Tubes just glued to the outside of the building.
Yeah, it's an interesting look.
But we now know that it's going to be part of a much, much bigger expansion as part of Avengers Academy? No, Campus. Avengers Campus that's going in there, right?
Yeah.
And they are going to be building a lot of those buildings are going to be very gray and glass with red accents and things.
Ugh.
So I wonder if this when it's completed will fit into that land more appropriately than it does now.
It has to, right? Yeah, it can't stick out any more than it already does.
I'm really dying to know if we have some like secret Imagineer that would be like, no, we totally messed that up, that's willing to tell, because there are right?
Ain't one that's gonna say that.
You don't think so?
I think people will fess up to actual errors, like the creator of the Disco Yeti has owned up to the fact that we messed that up.
Yeah.
And he feels bad about it.
Yeah.
But this is just pure theming, and people are still mad about it. But like you said, they're bringing in an entire superhero campus look.
Right.
Which to me, unfortunately, sounds too much like old Epcot, and I'm afraid it's just going to be
ugly. No, it looks cool.
Well, that's an opinion. But in general, I think they have to make the new area match the tower's new look.
I know, right? Opinion. It's funny that I'm like absolutely dead
You're
set.
You're so optimistic.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. It's not even close to built.
Like, they have sketchy drawings of what it might look like.
And we all know that Disney is very liberal
with their concept art
that they do, so who knows what it's really going to look like. But it is going to sit next to that real, it's going to be a really big building that's going to come out in phase two or phase three, I guess, if you call it that, of that land. And so anyway, maybe it will fit in better at that point.
You're that's hijacking all. This podcast with all sorts of nonsense.
I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say.
No, but with trepidation we went into this new attraction, and it was brand new. I hadn't seen any reviews, the way I like to do it.
We were there opening day,
and after some consternation with the ticket situation, we were able to secure fast passes to go in and ride it on that opening day.
Your friends are awful, just saying.
It was you. And the great thing, the new story for the Tower of Terror is that you are now entering the Tivon Collection, which is a building that houses the collection of the quote-unquote collector.
Yeah.
Which is a galactic space collector type of guy who's a little eccentric that just likes to gather things.
Yeah.
And his newest acquisition is the Guardians of the Galaxy that he's put in cages.
Right. Those cages are cool, too.
They're neat looking.
You love those.
And so it has a completely different feeling to it. Almost like a weird, eclectic, you never know quite what you're going to run into kind of feel to it. For instance, there's a random garden gnome in the garden outside. And no one can tell me why it's there. Like, legitimately, I always look at it and go, is that just for flavor? Is that a wink and a nod to something that I don't know about?
Yeah.
Because it's just weird.
I almost wish that in the Disney app, they would have a thing where you can, like, take a picture of something, and it would give you the backstory immediately, kind of, you know? Because you could probably Google it while you're in line. But you're like,
you could probably take a picture of it and like tweet it at somebody in the Disney Corporation and say, what is this?
What is this?
And see if you can get enough of a following to find out what it's all about.
It'd be fun if it was just built into the app.
Well, that seems like a lot.
Instant information.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so you enter into what used to be the lobby of the Hollywood Tower Hotel, and it's just full of cages, cases, for lack of a better word. And they have so much cool stuff in the line area, kind of like how they did with the Tower of Terror. They had a lot of Twilight Zone winks and nods, which unfortunately were lost on me because I never watched the Twilight Zone. But there were people that said, oh, there's lots of really fun things in here hinting towards the Twilight Zone.
And we tried one episode. It wasn't good.
It wasn't bad, but you definitely weren't feeling it. Because it has that same eerie kind of feeling, I think you just don't like that kind of
I really don't.
Stuff.
Like bubblegum and fairy tales. That's what I'm into.
And there's definitely none of that.
None of that.
But now in the line area, they have so many neat things. There are a couple of things that I like to point out that I really like. They have an Ultron. So if you remember, I doubt you remember because you don't remember these things. There is a whole movie called The Age of Ultron, right? Where they're fighting a robot.
Out by Disney?
What?
No.
It's an Avengers movie.
Okay.
Which I'm pretty sure we saw together. And anyway, his whole thing was that he would sing I've Got No Strings on Me in the previews.
Oh, yeah.
It's really creepy. They have one of these things awesome. Hanging in one of these cases that's all broken and stuff. And occasionally he'll spark up and, like, talk.
Yeah.
And the first time we were in there, he sparked up and sang There Are No Strings on Me from Pinocchio. And I was like, that is really cool.
That's cool. That is awesome.
They also have the really cool Cosmo the Space Dog in there.
I was hoping you were going to talk about Cosmo the Space Dog.
And the fun thing about Cosmo the Space Dog is that he's really just cool in general, and they even went as far as to put his little wet nose marks all over the inside of the glass that everyone that has ever owned a dog knows exactly what we're talking about.
So identifiable.
Right. And he's just fun to look at in general, but I don't personally, but if you know the comics very well, you know that he's actually a member of the Guardians of the Galaxy in the comic books. He's a psychic dog.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is he in the movie by...
He's not.
Okay.
No.
I didn't think I saw a dog. But you never know.
Yeah. I don't remember. You don't remember details. There's also a hidden Figment in the queue area.
Oh, that's interesting.
You have to really pay attention and know where to look because he's in kind of like a frosted glass box really high. But if you know what you're looking for, you can spot Figment in there also.
Wow, talk about a collector.
Right? He has all sorts of fun things. Speaking of which, I was so excited to see this. So once you get past the pre-show area and everything, which we can talk about in a second, there's a few more things in there. For instance, they have like the original Yeti
from
the Matterhorn, which they've updated.
Super cool.
But also in there, they have a seemingly random rubber octopus with eyelashes. And
that does
for me,
random.
It is such a big deal because her name is Dolores, and she is from the Country Bear Jamboree Vacation Hoedown.
No way.
And I love the Vacation Hoedown. It's the one I grew up with Country Bears.
And Dolores made it back into T-Von's collection?
She did. I love it. And then also in the pre-show room, you also have Peter Quill's Walkman.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a big deal. And they also have a couple winks and nods to, like, the Tower of Terror in there with, like, a bellhop hat and things like that. And in this one, you walk up to the doors and they want to scan your hands. That's how you get in and to the T-Von collection, right?
Yeah.
And once you're in the pre-show room, the pre-show is interrupted by a really great animatronic of Rocket Raccoon.
Right.
Who lets you know that course he escaped, and his plan is to use your hand as clearance to get everybody else out of the collection.
And I refuse. I say my hands are way too big for this. I'm not putting up with it.
You don't have a choice. Everybody else in the lift is all
he don't
on
need
board.
My hands.
He don't
he
need your
enough.
Hand. And so he says, all you gotta do, put your hands up, I get control of the lift, and everything, all craziness breaks loose in this area, right? And then as you're leaving, he goes, I'm going to take this, and his little hand comes down and picks up the Walkman on your way out, which is super cool.
That is cool.
Cool
little touch.
Then you go, of course, go around and get into the standard Tower of Terror seat belts and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You back up and you see a silhouette of Rocket saying, everybody put your hands up. And then he plugs the sound system into Peter Quill's Walkman and hilarity ensues, right? Huh. They have great music playing. They fling you around in there even more so than I think the tower ever did. And you go past scenes of the Guardians interacting with you and with other things in the collection and whatnot.
Isn't that funny? Because I almost missed the ride, actually, as you describe it to me. Like, I'm thinking, this sounds like fun. I can't wait to go. Mainly because the music is so loud.
It's so loud, and it really changes the whole feeling of the ride, obviously. Uh-huh. It's not the scary sound of your elevator falling apart and the rattling and the shaking. And
I'm totally wearing earbuds the next time we go on Tower of Terror.
Just listening to different music through the whole
totally
thing.
Totally crank it up to my own Rocket mix collection. That's the way I'm doing it from now on.
It's amazingly fun. Such a good time. And then for Halloween, they have an After Dark show.
Oh, they do.
Which is super cool, called Monsters Unleashed.
Yeah.
You go back in, Rocket's like, what are you doing here? And then he says, never mind, it's a good thing you're here. We accidentally left Groot inside the tower. We need to go back and get him. You're going to basically be bait for all the big giant monsters that are running around inside the tower now.
Oh, I don't like that.
And your job is to help Groot get out.
Now they're going for me first.
And this one is darker. When you go into the pre-show rooms, there are like searchlights because there's things escaped running around.
Oh, yeah.
And the music in this one tends to be a little bit more heavy metal.
Oh, it totally is.
And the lights are a little bit more aggressive, and you are chased through the tower by big things in this version, which is super fun, by the way. It's all a good time. And so it's a great thing too, because you can ride the ride in the daytime and then at night, and you get a continuation of the story.
Oh, right.
Which is cool.
A two-part ride.
Yeah.
I could never be a Guardian of the Galaxy.
No.
No, not me.
You're not a fan?
None of these scary animals. These monsters coming for me? No.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
But it's all of this is the reason that we chose to do our patch for this month based on this ride.
Yeah.
Which I fought with, as I do every month. I hope you guys know how much work I put into these, because I have like 30 designs that I went through, none of which that I was happy with until I got towards the end. And we decided, I looked up all sorts of fun things about the ride to make sure that it fit in.
Yeah.
So the patch is actually shaped like the plaque on the outside of the building that says the T-Von Collection.
Yeah.
It has a...
Which I always read wrong, and I think it's Tivana's collection.
You think you're in there to get a
delicious cup of tea? Right? I'm like, brought to you by Tivana. That's weird, huh? How did they sponsor this? And then you have to remind me, no.
No, T-Von. I had to help you with your reading comprehension. Complete, right? And then I also looked up the special alphabet that they have for that area and put a yellow danger ribbon around the corner of it, written in that language.
Oh, that's
cool. And I put a display number on there, which is fun because it's the address of the tower, which is 1313, and then the date that the ride opened is part of the display number.
Oh, that's cool.
And then to cap it all off, we scribbled I escaped over the T-Von Collection so that you can proudly show everybody that you were part of the group to escape from the T-Von Collection.
Oh, the folks that didn't make it, those poor suckers.
So sad.
But the other thing that's really, really cool about this patch is it's the first time that we're doing Metallic Thread.
Ooh, it's so shiny.
Yeah. It's pretty fun that we were able to use Metallic Thread for it.
Yeah, we've talked about doing it before and not really known how to do it, but I thought the cool Metallic Thread looked good on a sign that would be part of the T-Von Collection.
Yeah.
And it's We usually do like massive patches. I try to fill up the whole space. I like that this one's a little more compact, so it fits a few more places. Yeah. If you don't have something where you can put a huge patch, right. This one can go like on a t-shirt really easily, or you know, something like that. It's right. Not quite as aggressive as some of our other patches, as size-wise.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and then also interestingly enough, this one is not an iron-on patch; it's just a sew-on patch.
Yeah, that was a snafu. I'm not sure what happened there.
But it's kind of cool though, because it makes it a little bit thinner, so it might go around things a little bit easier without having the thick backing.
Yeah,
we're not really sure, but let us know if you like it. Great. Awesome. We sew ours on anyway. You don't iron any of them on,
I don't right? iron them on anymore, because we have so many and I love them all so much that I really enjoy switching them out.
Yeah.
So I will have patches on things for like 3 or 4 trips, and then I can cut them off and put new patches on.
And I have some patches on some shirts that were ironed on, and they lasted for about a year or so with continuous wash, and I washed them quite a bit.
Yeah.
And then after that, we had to start sewing them back on anyway, because the iron-on works pretty good, but yeah. Over time it gives out. So
I mean, if you throw it in the wash enough times, anything's going to come off, right?
Probably. I'm lazy enough that I like the iron-on, but anyway.
The stitching is always a good idea to hold things on a little bit stronger.
Completely right.
And this one is stitch-only.
Stitch only.
Yeah.
Preferably a metallic thread.
Ooh, wouldn't that be cool? Only if your stitching's good. Mine tends to be a little sloppy, so I'd be embarrassed.
If it was too metallic.
Yeah.
Metallic is cool.
I like to hide my stitching a little bit, because I'm not great at it. Yeah. But if you are part of our patch club, it's already on its way to you.
Yeah.
How exciting is that? If you're not, you can always go to DisneyPatch.com and... Yeah. Find them to buy there, mm-hmm. along with all the other patches. We have so many now that there is not a chance that you're not going to find one that you love.
Gosh, what do you think? Like 26?
28? Oh, gosh, I'd have to really... I should know, but I guessing. Should count at this point, right?
Anyway.
We've been going for a while, so there's lots of them there. But happy October, everybody.
Oh, my gosh. We're going to be scary this entire month.
I'm always scary looking.
No, that's...
But it's like I always say... Come on and take a free ride.
Follow my perfectly sculpted 2-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.